Saying we're going to talk about it later is a kind of lie, because you know what's going to happen. My conclusion is that actually truth is not divisible, but the ways of lying are very sophisticated and getting more sophisticated. Mark, good morning. How are you?
It's raining a bit down here in the Cape, and I'm about to fly back up to Joburg. So it's a bit wet here, but my friends in Joburg told me it's a bit dry there.
Right.
You know, it seems to alternate between no water, no lights, no something. We really are now, you can only hide for so long, and the demise of Johannesburg is above the ground now. It's in full view.
Right.
It's above the surface. I don't know what's going to gather us to rescue it before we really just become a bunch of sinkholes. I'm so annoyed about it because it so could be seen coming. Anyway, other than that, I'm Mr. Cheerful this morning.
Yes, not tell.
I was scouring for some good news, you know.
Okay.
And I'm still scouring.
So, oh, really? Are you?
What's okay. News in your world, man? Come on, tell me something nice, man. Come on.
I think it's been a very remarkable week. I mean, it has been a big week. Every week we sit down and I sort of think, what should we talk about this week? And I think, oh my God, we're not going to have enough to talk about. And then I think about it for 5 seconds and suddenly realize, yeah, oh my God, there's too much to talk about. So let's just talk about some things very quickly.
Yeah.
So very quick, number one thing is that Cyril Ramaphosa is going to the US of A to meet Mr. DT. And lots of people had lots of thoughts about that. So that's interesting. What are your thoughts?
Let's hope it's not another Zelensky moment. You know,
yes.
Let's not, in front of the live mics, we don't have nearly a fisticuffs and a sharing of insults. I mean, the president of the United States has taken to sharing insults with no less than Bruce Springsteen, you know, and so I'm sure he's going to write a song about it. I mean, have you not got better things to do? I think it could be, it's a dangerous intersection at a difficult time. Well, that's how I would characterize it, okay?
There is.
I hope that they find something, but there's a big enough delegation. Every time I see it, there's some more people going.
No, I mean, I hope that it's a kind of nondescript meeting. I mean, that's what my hope is.
That's what we can hope for.
I hope that they just open for the way for future meetings and they don't sort of get involved in fisticuffs. And actually, I think President Ramaphosa is actually very good at that. You know, he's very good at calming things down. Although I say that, but recently,
avoidance at all cost.
Yeah. Recently, he did go to Nampo in Boeterville, at which time he decided to call the Afrikaner refugees to the United States cowards. I mean, do you think that cowardly? It is a bit cowardly to leave your country, isn't it? I mean, was that a fair comment or overstated?
You know, I don't think we have locus standi on the issue.
Really?
I'm not a farmer who lives in a situation where my neighbors have just been killed or whatever the truth might be behind that. I want to get onto truth later this morning. But it's hard to judge them. I think it's 50 people who got given an opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity. You know, we must reflect on the number of immigrants that came into our country looking for a better life.
Right.
And how so many of them have contributed to the country's growth and well-being.
Right.
You know, and maybe we should just look at it like that. Maybe it's a second chance, a different chance. It is bloody difficult to make the decision, I would have thought, as a Burki, to uproot your entire family and your ecosystem and go off and start a new life. So I don't have like a standout, Tim. I'm not going to make a view on this.
Yeah. It's complicated, isn't it? You know, the fact is, this is a little bit of the tip of the iceberg because, you know, a lot of people have immigrated from South Africa over the last 3 years. And that, in some senses,
not all of them had their flights paid for them.
Yes, this is true. But you know what I'm saying? It's a reflection of a larger problem. You don't want that. You don't want people leaving the country. You want people
coming.
No,
you don't want that.
There are people who, you know, still coming into South Africa.
Well, you want to be picky on both sides of that equation.
Yeah,
you want to choose who can come in and who's got to leave. It's not a barometer of well-being.
Yes.
You know, that's, I can say with some confidence,
All right. Can we just do quickly the other issue of the week, which is the budget?
Yeah. The week that's coming.
No.
Yeah. Budget.
So, budget 3.0. This time it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's a question.
Well, it has to be. You know, there's not a lot of it's not fines left. I mean, I see that the EFF is going to celebrate VAT Victory Day or something of that nature.
Right.
I think in a funny way, we could adopt the positive view that this is the GNU at work, that this toing and froing does produce a better result than than a dominated, you know, non-contested budget. And so I think in that sense, it might be lessons for the future. It might introduce caution and more, you know, a consultation than we've had up to now. So I hope they solve it because, hey, it's one of those things, you know, the numbers don't lie.
Right.
Or do they?
Ah, okay. You wanted to talk about truth. Big topic.
Yeah, there are some things that I know about.
Okay.
And I know what the truth is.
Right.
And it occurs to me that the more truths you know,
right,
the more you stand aghast of what is fed to the public in lies.
There is.
Or at best, misrepresentation. Because you know that that's not the case. I mean, I read somewhere, it was actually Daily Investor, I think you first wrote it, but I think they're reporting on the post office report back to Parliament, where I'll summarize, they said the post office got 1.6 billion of income, 4.8 billion of costs, and wait for it, Tim, a net profit of 5.3 billion. Okay.
Oh, so what you add your losses to your income.
Well, you add,
and then that's
and
then your profit.
You add and then adjust. And So there might have been, say, a mix-up between capital injections or revenue or revaluing assets. I don't know, but I can tell you what, it's a very useful precedent.
Yeah.
If your company's in trouble, Tim,
Yes. Okay,
make the numbers up.
Okay.
That's what you've got to do.
Right.
You see, instead of going through all of this nonsense of getting to the truth and getting other people to, you know, audit that truth,
right,
just say whatever you like. Now, here's the real problem.
Right.
Is that the public at large don't know the truth. And so they read this thing which says, SAPO, and to be fair to the journalist who wrote this, surprisingly, made a 5.3 billion profit. It's not true.
Right.
Okay. It's not an economic, it's not a profit, it's some sort of financial engineering within the auspices of finance. And so it's not the only case. That's just one where I know.
Right.
I know a couple of other cases of truth where what we are fed as the misguided public is lies, nothing short of lies. At best, you know, misrepresentation
right. And
deceit. And that is a big problem. When the electorate in a democracy is totally misinformed and is insufficiently competent and educated to pass sophisticated judgment on the utterances of Parliament,
Yes. We
will elect the wrong people.
No, that's true.
What do you think of that, Tim?
I think it's interesting. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about truth is how, you know, that people say truth is indivisible. Well, actually, it's not quite true.
Not really. Yeah.
I'll give you a good example, because today, the other thing that I thought was interesting about this past week was that there was two quite interesting meetings of parliamentary portfolio committees. At one of them, this is the Portfolio Committee of Higher Education, one of the EFF members, Shili Lonzi, was forcibly removed. So what was his crime? The interesting thing about this is that all of these parliamentary committees are now on YouTube. So you can, if you have 5 hours to spend, you can watch the whole thing. Anyway, what happened was, the DG of higher education was there, and Sheila asked him a very fair question. Do you know that Gwediman Tush's son has been appointed as a director of CETA?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And the chair of the committee said, we have decided that we're not discussing this issue now. We are going to talk about it, but just not now. So Sheila, to his great credit, said, no, I want to talk about this now. And then this argument developed. And then eventually the chair of the committee called the security people. And then they kind of pushed him out, and then he pulled, and then he sort of, but you know, just to relate it to what we were talking about, the truth, this is also a version of lying. Saying we're going to talk about it later is a kind of lying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you know what's going to happen when the time comes to talk about it later. The decision will be that we've run out of time, or actually the time is not now. The time is even later than later, you know, and so it goes on. So anyway, so my conclusion is that, in fact, truth is divisible. There are kinds of ways of lying. Actually, truth is not divisible, but the ways of lying are very sophisticated and getting more sophisticated. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I worry as much about the utterances as I do about the intent.
Right.
Okay. When the intent is to deceive and to mislead, then you've doubled down on your error or your bad habit.
Right.
Okay. And so that makes it even worse than just a mistake or a lie. When you're lying on purpose, which I suppose you always are.
Right.
But when you're lying to achieve an outcome that is now then founded on untruth, you are going to destroy a nation. It's as big as that, Tim. And that's what's happening.
Right.
Is that we've been lied to and deferred and deferred and deferred. The realities of the situations facing us are now becoming so obvious that you can't lie about them anymore. When there's no water in the taps, but you can't say, we'll talk about it later. There's no water. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, and you know what the trouble is? And this is not only true of government. It's true of big business. It's some big businesses. Is that those in charge,
right,
who can see the error of their ways are sometimes found guilty of nevertheless perpetuating them.
Right.
In the name of conventional wisdom or in denial of the changing circumstances that surround them. And the classic examples are sort of IBM and Kodak and many other
right.
major corporations whose incumbent management forever refused to change.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening in government, and I've seen it in other failed organizations, is that those overseeing failure double down on failure because it's the only place they can go. If they admit failure, they have to leave.
Right.
And so we have this pervasive, the NHI, Bella, any number of government utterances and initiatives which have failed manifestly
right.
are sort of being doubled down on. So yes. it's getting worse.
Yeah, it becomes a point of...
It's like denying a diagnosis. And when you go to the hospital and you get a diagnosis which requires a treatment that or you know threatens your life, if you deny the diagnosis, you will die.
Yes.
How's that for fucking cheerful? Yeah.
It's rather like your own lie becomes your safety net, your comfort yeah. area, the place that's... And
that's the only place you can go. Failure is a refuge.
Yes, yeah, no, that's right. Can I just tell you very briefly about the other parliamentary hearing that I was so impressed by?
Yeah, please do. Cheer us up, man. Come on, Tim.
No, this is not going to cheer you up at all. So this was the okay. subcommittee, the portfolio committee on police. What was under discussion was long-haul bus companies. So I don't know whether you know this, but there's been this kind of like sort of background battle taking place between bus companies and the taxi operators. We've all know about this. Right? It's been going on for years and years and years, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, what happened was, you know, this is the interesting thing also about truth, is that eventually somebody does stand up, you know, yeah. one of the bus companies. So what happened about 2 or 3 years ago was that in the Eastern Cape, the taxi operators and the bus companies met to discuss their issues. The position of the taxi companies was that they will ensure the security of the long distance bus operators for a fee. And the so this is what is otherwise known as extortion, right? That's I don't know what the formal description is, but that's extortion. So, you know, I don't know what happened. There's 7 or 8 long distance bus operators in South Africa, but one of them decided that they weren't going to go along with this. And what they did was, and this is kind of really shocking, they took this information to the police.
No.
Yes, no. Kind of.
Oh, unfair. I mean, yes, know, reporting yes, exactly. crime to the law.
Yes, no.
It was just a spoil sport.
Yeah. Spoil sport kind of approach. Anyway, so then the police didn't really do anything about it. So this is the, Intercape was the company. So Intercape went back to the courts and said, you know, we've made all of these complaints. So they say they've made 160 charges have been brought, one of murder, about 30 of attempted murder. This is people just standing in front of the buses and shooting at them, right? Which is pretty scary. If you're a bus driver and somebody just stands in the middle of the road and shoots at you, this is not a good thing, right?
It's being a bit of a real sport, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Anyway, so the court finds that the police have to do something about this.
No.
So, okay, no.
You're full of surprise.
I know, it's shocking.
Jeez, yeah.
So then a sort of time passes and the police present their plan and the bus company's not happy with this because they regard it as insufficient. So they go back to court and argue that this plan of the police is just completely inadequate, right? And the court says, you're right. You must go back and do up another plan. Yeah. I mean, this is such a story of trauma and angst. Anyway, all of this comes to a head in Parliament last week, when the police finally get called in front of the parliamentary committee and make their sort of case, they say that they've made all of these charges. Not only has no one been, you know, convicted, no one's been even arrested. And they also reveal that they gave the police tape recordings of, you know, the original, you know, extortion event with pictures of the whiteboard and tape recordings and bank account numbers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So anyway, so then the police have to respond to this. So they say, no, their numbers are different. First of all, they've got constraints on their budgets and things like that, which is why they weren't able to kind of help. But also, people have been arrested. But even on the police's numbers, no one's been convicted. This is, you know, sort of 5 years down the line. It's just amazing. But they are looking at it. They are looking at it and they will do it. It's not that they've ignored the courts. Oh, no, they've done that. Anyway, it was a very, very interesting event, right?
What you need now is another commission.
That's true.
Because then at least someone will make some money out of it. Yeah? You must call another 5-year commission into the transport area. You know, you talk about buses.
Okay.
I read this morning that we can't get our soldiers, our stranded soldiers in the DRC back home because the buses aren't around or aren't functional or aren't something. I mean, have you ever? Okay. It's a long bus ride, just for starters. But if we can't get our buses to go and get our troops, I don't know what's going on. You know, then, compounding that, I read this morning again that the radar in the South African Air Force is not functioning.
Right.
Now, I'm sorry, but you can't fly around at that speed not knowing who else is on the road in the air. Okay. You can't do that. Okay. And so we are grounded literally in all respects. I mean, we've got one ship and that's overseen, thank goodness, by 17 admirals. Otherwise, it would also be in trouble.
Yeah,
amidst a world at war.
Yes.
Thank goodness we've been so far precluded from that because we can't go to war.
Yes.
Okay. We can't go to defense.
Yes.
We can't go anywhere except to attend the National Defense Emporium in Russia. That we can do.
I don't know, man.
It's not a good... Oh, I tell you what. You know what we should introduce here, Tim, is a new section called the Oops section.
Right.
Talking about, you know, defense capabilities. I don't know if you've seen the little video of the Mexican naval ship that underestimated the height of the New York Bridge, under which it chose to sail.
Right.
Under which it could not sail.
Right.
Because its mast was taller than the bridge. And so tourists were seen with their, you know, filming this disaster as it happened in real time. I don't know, man.
You know, the interesting thing is, this point I was going to make about the parliamentary portfolio committees, but also applies here, is how our lives have been changed by the fact that everything is now filmed. You know what I mean? Everything is on record.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's ultimately a good thing because, you know, a lot of problems that we had before, we sort of vaguely knew that they existed, but we didn't have photographic evidence. And now everything is now sort of recorded and you can actually see. It's difficult to go on with your life without being mesmerized by these actual pictures. Anyway.
Well, you know, I'm going to give what might be couched as the perfect parliamentary response to your question.
Right.
I think it's good and bad,
okay.
But let's talk about it later.
All right, Mark. Hopefully next week we'll be more cheerful.
It's the middle of May. It's enough already.
Yep.
We've got an interesting week.
Stay in touch.
Stay glued to your screens, people. We're going to find things out. Let's hope we're not in trouble. Have a good week.
Look after yourselves.